Everybody blessed? Can you get even more blessed?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Take these off. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, man. The wind was blowing today. Yep. It's a sign. The winds of time. And it is a symbol of good things to come. Praise God. You know, we don't base things by symbols and signs, but it's still nonetheless to take a look at. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Put up the title. We're going to, and I'm just going to share a little bit before we actually pray and dive into this, because this is going to be a, we're going to continue on what the Lord has been dealing with me for myself, my family, and this congregation. Okay, and especially Pastor, because Pastor's going through some things that him and I have been sharing. And his physical body is it's at the point where his breakthrough is that close. And we need to reach out in faith and pull it and agree with him so that his health springs forth as the sun when it breaks through in the morning, okay? Because that's what the Lord's been sharing with me, because our pastors and this congregation needs a healing.
Yes.
Okay? And healing comes through God, because Jesus is our healer. Amen?
That's right.
Jesus is our healer. The series that I've been really ministering on is Hear and Be Healed series. And I have different areas and different levels of teaching in this. And last time we got into some things about the Old Covenant and numbers, you know, things in numbers like 70, number 12, 3, 33. They were important. You know, they're just not there just because of, it's a number, okay? God does things decently and in order. He's an orderly God, but yet he's not a traditional God. Because Jesus even rebuked the Pharisees and everybody. He just said, hey, you know, don't do things based on tradition. Once you start getting into tradition, then you get captivated in something and you have to do it that way, and there's no life in it. Okay? So we're learning, and we're going to learn even more how to bust tradition, you know, kick it out, okay? Because there's a thought process behind tradition. Just because something happened one way doesn't mean it's going to happen that way every time. Okay? See, even we're going to go through the healings that Jesus actually, and I'm going to say performed, because that is a word that is used in the scriptures, that he actually performed in people, and they were not all the same.
That's right.
But the results was the same. Healing. Deliverance. Okay? So the title of the message tonight is Totally Committed or Casually Inclined. Let that sink in a little bit. Totally committed or casually inclined. We will be on time. There's going to be quite a few scriptures we're going to go through. So when you go through the scriptures in your Bible or read it up here, you may want to write them down. Okay, I have 12 passages of scriptures, and there's a lot of verses in these 12 passages. I believe we're going to go through them all, but if we don't, that's okay. All right? We're moving on with a full force and no compromise. Everybody say no compromise.
No compromise.
No compromise in the Word of God. We are going to be, and this is what the Lord has shared with me, okay? And you can hang on to this if you want. We are going to be a congregation of no compromise.
That's right. Amen, that's right.
In the Word of God.
Amen.
The reason why I can say that, because if somebody walks through this door and they're all gung-ho for God and everything is great, but then they start saying things that do not line up with this, you will be able to know and say, wait a minute, wait a minute. I'm not going to judge you, but that's off track for me. That's a compromise. I can't do that. Because once we compromise, that's when Jesus talks about saying, and even in the Old Covenant, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not the steamroller. It's not the backhoe. It's not those things. It's the little ones. And that's what causes us to compromise. Okay? Everybody hold up their Bible. Everybody got their Bibles? Here we go. We're going to start. All right. This is my Bible. God's given it to me. I can do whatever it says I can do. I am who it says I am. And I can go where it says I can go. Thank you, Jesus, for my Bible. Amen. Praise God. It's simple. You heard yourself say it. I said it. And this is it. This is the scriptures. This is the word of God. Okay? I like to do things when I'm ministering things, not just to do it, just to do it. Okay? There is a reason behind I like to share things and present things. And I pray that as I share something with you and teach, that it'll be imparted and planted in you so that it'll bring forth the fruit that it's supposed to. Meditate on it. Think about it. Okay? The Hebrew word for meditate, does anybody know what it is? Probably not, but that's okay. The Hebrew word for meditate is mutter. Mutter. You actually mutter to yourself. You say it to yourself. Like, if somebody wanted to memorize John 3:16, what would they do? Get in a corner and kind of memorize it, right? The Hebrews repeat it, right? The Hebrews would say, mutter it, which is repeating. So you'd say, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. You talk it to yourself. You say it to yourself. And then it becomes a part of you. Okay? And we're learning that more and more. We're going to dive into some history tonight. We're going to unfold. Listen to me. We're going to unfold ourselves. We're going to locate where we are in God. That sound okay? Yeah, I mean, it doesn't mean like, well, I'm going to locate, I'm the hair on the finger. Not that type of locating. We're going to locate where we are spiritually in God, who we are. I'm a Christian, right? But we're more than that. Scripture says we're more than conquerors in Christ, not in ourselves. We're going to locate ourselves so we can move on in him, not in ourselves, okay? The more written word we read, the more the living word comes forth. Now, we learned last week, or last time I spoke, who is the written word? Jesus, okay? The more we read Jesus, the more he becomes alive in us. Okay, now let's look on the opposite side of the coin. The less we read the written word, the less he moves in us. It stands to reason, right? It's called ignorance. Yeah. We become ignorant with the word of God, and the little foxes can come in more easily, and we get distracted, and we start to compromise, even without even knowing. But we're compromising. Wow. Did you know that the more word we put in us and the more that Jesus moves in us, it causes faith to grow within us? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And did you know that when you act on your faith, it'll cause God to bypass a million people just to get to you?
Amen.
Just because of faith? It's important. Faith is an important thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. What do you want from God tonight? What do you want from God tonight? How bad do you want it? Ooh. Man. It's a question I want you to hang on to. Here's a quick story before we start with the scriptures. A chicken and a pig decided to walk down the street together. I know it's kind of a funny analogy, but listen closely. A chicken and a pig were walking down the street, and they noticed a big sign, so they walked a little closer to this big sign, and it said, church fundraiser. And chicken goes to the pig, wow, sounds sounds cool. Let's check it out. Let's look even closer. So as they're walking closer to the sign, the smaller print gets larger and larger, you know, and walk over there and the chicken reads it and it says, yeah, it's a ham and eggs breakfast. The chicken says to the pig, I think we should be a part of this. And the pig says, dude, to you, it's a casual offering. For me, it's total commitment. Notice the title of the message. Okay. Are you totally committed to something, or are you just casually inclined to do something? I know the scripture says to do certain things, but I can be casually inclined to do it, or I can be totally committed at it. I have that choice. And the end results, it's still going to be up to me. It's up to me, no matter what, no matter what. And again, I ask the question, what do you want from God? How bad are you willing to go for it? How totally committed are you going to be? Let's look at what God has to say. Let's go to the first scriptures in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for a lack of what? Doesn't say love, but you can have knowledge about love or anything, but he's talking about knowledge here. Because you have rejected what? Knowledge. You've rejected it. I also will reject you from being priest for me because you have forgotten the law of your God. I will also forget your children. What a scripture to start off with, Larry. Come on, give me a break. But it's the truth, okay? My people perish for a lack of knowledge. And then as we go into these next scriptures, we're going to find out what this lack of knowledge entails. Okay, let's go to the next one. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to find out God's heart on how not to have a lack of knowledge. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says, my son, do not forget my law, okay? But let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. The word peace there. Okay, I want everybody to understand. In the Old Covenant, there's actually two words for peace, okay, in the Hebrew. This word peace, in the definition, does not mean absence of war, like a peace, you know, a ceasefire and all that. It does not mean that. The Hebrew root word is shalom. It's where we get the word shalom from. You've heard Jewish people say shalom and all that. Shalom actually means wholeness. Wholeness. If you're broken in any part of your body, he says, you'll be whole. Not just absent from a war, but there could be a war going on in a person's body. There usually is if they're sick, okay, if they need healing. But he's saying there's wholeness there. Okay? This is what he's talking about. Let's go to the next verse. Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 21. Now this is go ahead and repeat it after me. It's a recipe. Everybody say recipe. It's a recipe. Okay, and this is it right here. My son or daughter, give attention to whose words? My words, God's words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, not just somebody else's, yours. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For what are they? The words, God's words, are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. The Hebrew word for health there means medicine. It's medicine. You have to take your medicine. If somebody's on medication, you take it according to the prescription. If it says three times a day, then do it three times a day. If you want to take it once a day, you're only going to get a little bit of the benefit. God's saying, take his medicine. His medicine is his word. All right, let's keep going. I don't want to run out of time. Let's go to Psalms 91. Psalms 91, we're going to go to verses 10 through 16. When you do this, this is God's formula that he has already in Proverbs 3 and 4. Now we're going to talk about in Psalms 91. When you do this, when you read the word, when you take his medicine, No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Wow. Praise God. What kind of plagues do you think they're talking about? Anything that is the thief wants to bring up. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Didn't we read, we read that before in Luke chapter 4, when the devil even tried to tempt Jesus with this verse here? Okay? He knows it's a true verse for every child of God. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Do you know the name of God? It's Jesus, right? Okay, we can use that name. And in that name, there's a whole message on that ties into this on another day. We cannot use his name like a rabbit's foot. Or a good luck charm. That's not how we do it. And we're going to teach on that some other time, but his name is all powerful. There's no name given among men, given among earth, given among heaven, anywhere, because every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. His name is above every name. In heaven, so it's above all the angels, on earth, presidents, kings, and under the earth, demons, stronger than all that. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. We're going to call upon the name of the Lord tonight. He's going to answer us too. Okay? This is a promise. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Now, I'm kind of dabbling a little bit of the Hebrew here. That word salvation in all our English Bibles is wonderful. But in the Hebrew, that word means Yeshua. Okay? So when you go to your Bible and you see it in your Bible, you see that word salvation 98.6 or 7 times. That word salvation in the Old Covenant is used. If you look at it in the Hebrew, it's Yeshua. So God is actually saying, I'm going to show you Jesus. I'm going to show you him. Now we know him. But how committed and how deep we want to know him. Psalms 91 says, God's going to show us him. We can do that. We can see him. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. We're going to keep going and see the attributes in the mind of God here. Now we're talking about Psalms 91 said God's going to show us Jesus. Now here's Jesus. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him, who came to hear him, who came to hear him, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. The people came to hear him. They came to hear him and be healed. Not the other way. Not the other way. And we're going to see it all throughout the scriptures. They came to hear. Let's go to the next verse. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues or churches, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He mainly taught in the synagogues. He preached along the seacoasts, the mountains, the hills. He did all that in different places. And healing every sickness and every disease, where? Among the people. He preached, he taught, preached, and healed. Okay? We need something a little deeper here. Here we go. Next one. Let's see. And then Matthew 9, 35 to 36. But when he saw, Jesus saw, he was saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. We have a shepherd. We have a shepherd. We actually have two. Praise God. Hallelujah. And let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Oh, did I skip one? I skipped the other one, didn't I? No, okay. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Now we're going to talk about what God did for Jesus and to Jesus for us, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing what? He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It is life and it is health to our flesh. As we present this word tonight, Father, I just ask that your Holy Spirit would move mightily in our midst, and your word would just permeate our hearts. And as we hear it through our ears, Father, it would just bypass these filters that we have that the world has put upon us, and that this word would be planted deep in our hearts so that it may grow, that fruit would come forth 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, Father, because you're basically demanding it from us, Father, because we're older in the Lord now. We need to move on in you. And I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, just to move unhindered by any satanic force in the name of Jesus. Because I apply the blood of Jesus over every person here and in this building and over everyone here, Father, because I'm asking for great and mighty things from you, because you said you'd do it. Because in the name of Jesus, we all ask and we're in agreement for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. As we move on, I want you guys to continue to remember that pig and the chicken thing, okay? I know it's real spiritual, but just think about that a little bit. Totally committed or casually inclined? Because what I'm going to do, we're going to get into a story that's in the scriptures here, and it's of the Syrophoenician woman. And it's in here three times. It's in the Synoptic Gospels. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But I'm going to share it from the book of Mark first, and then we're going to close in the book of Matthew. It's the same story, but there's a little different details in it, okay, in each account of it, okay? But each time it shows the grace and the love and the power of God in such a way where we're going to identify where you are in God. Same story, but it's like, how can everybody have a different place and it's the same story? Well, that's God, how he works in every one of us. Okay? We're all individuals. We're all different, but you know what? His glory and his power, when you put it together with him, gosh, yeah, we're nobody, but in him, we're blessed. We're blessed. We're anointed. Hallelujah. There is no shortcuts in receiving from God. How many of you know that? There's no shortcuts. You take a shortcut, oop, start over.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, go down that way. Ooh, big sign, big shortcut sign. Start over. U-turn.
That's right.
Always keep a heart of repentance going. Yeah. If you make a shortcut and you goof up, repent, get back on the road. I'm telling you, that's the way you do it. We all have to do it. No shortcuts in receiving from God. No matter what your need, desire, want, or anything, there's no shortcuts. His way is the way. That's why he said, I am the way. That's right. He's the way, okay? He has requirements in that way, and those requirements must be met. If we don't meet those requirements, U-turn. Got to do it again. It's the way it works. You know, all through the scriptures, the more you read it, you'll see people try to go different ways. We're talking about an Ananias and Sapphira. Shortcut, up, gone, see ya. Example. So it's just, there's no shortcuts. God is a faith God. We can't do things thinking it's faith and operating in hope. Hope has its place. Hope is like that thermostat back there. We hope this building can get to 100 degrees so you turn it up. But what powers that hope? The faith. That's the engine that gets that thing going. Okay? God expects us to walk by faith and not by sight. But I'll tell you what. Everybody in here has their own version of faith. Yes, we all have a measure of faith that's been given, but we have a version of it. Is that the right version? How many versions of the scriptures do we have? Our version needs to line up with God's version of faith. If God says do it this way, then we do it that way. If we don't, then we may be off a little bit. Oh, we're getting there. We're getting close. But like eye doctors, you know how they fine-tune things in? God wants us in his word so much more that our version of faith will be obliterated and his version will kick in. And we're going to find that out about what happened with the Syrophoenician woman. And as we get into that, I want everybody in here, everybody's probably read it at least 10 times or more. I want you to forget what you read. I'm not saying my way is the right way. I'm just going to show you something that'll locate you on where you're at. Is that okay? Is that a deal? Okay, when we get into that, you're going to see. I know of a minister who was so just in tune with what God wanted to do in wherever he ministered. And he was reading in Mark chapter 16, saying that, "And these signs shall follow those who believe." Okay? And when you preach the word, these signs will come. And he was kind of not griping at the Lord, but he was saying, "Lord, how come there's not as many signs and wonders following after I'm preaching the word? I mean, I'm preaching the word, but there's not signs and wonders. There's a few here and there, people getting filled with the Holy Ghost, they're getting saved, you know, miracles here and there every once in a while, but they're just not happening the way I would like them to." The Lord said, "Well, you can't turn it on and off. It's not up to you." Okay? And he said, "Okay, all right." And then the Lord said to him, "Because you're really not preaching the word." Oh. Oh. He was devastated. He goes, "You've got to be kidding me. I'm a stickler for the word. I preach the word. Like, it's the only thing I preach." The Lord said, "No. You preach 60% of the word." And he goes, "60%? He says, "Yeah. And the other 20% is tradition. Or excuse me, 30% is tradition. And the other 10% is unbelief. So that's why there's not as many signs and wonders following. You're not preaching the word. Could you imagine if you preach 100%? And he goes, "Yeah. Help me, Lord, help me." So he repents and, you know, he dives into the word even more. And he says, "Unbelief, I'm kicking you out. Tradition, I don't care what that says. I want to preach the word." And he preached the word. There were some services he would just open up the Bible, read, people walk forth, blind get healed, lame start walking. It's like, it was just the word. Nothing he did. He says, "It's nothing. I just heard what Jesus told me and I preached the word." Praise God, the word heals. Jesus is the word, amen. He is the word, hallelujah, praise God. Let's everybody turn in their Bibles to Mark chapter 7. Now remember the deal we got, right? Forget everything you know about the Syrophoenician woman. We're going to read it like it's the first time. Is that okay? That went too fast. That was like a... All right. From there he arose, Jesus, and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And we all know why he went to a region of Tyre and Sidon, remember? Tyre and Sidon was a cursed city at this time. And you'll see that Jesus never went into Tyre and Sidon. He always stayed along the coast. And people came out of the city of Tyre and Sidon to go see Jesus and do a lot of their religious duties outside the city. The region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. Now, those of you who, I'm just getting a little background of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those are called the Synoptic Gospels. Matthew was actually written to the Jews. Okay? It's to everybody today, but it was actually written to and for the Jews because there's more law given in it. There's more Jewish traditions. All these things are inside Matthew. Mark was actually written for the Gentiles. It's very simple reading. Everything is like very, you know, it's like, oh, wow, that's easy to read, easy to understand, easy to comprehend. Luke was actually written for professionals because Luke had to be approved through Gamaliel, which was an actual Jewish slash Greek scholar, so it had to be proven, so it was mainly for professionals, okay, or business people, doctors, and all that. So, but just so, we're going to get into Mark first, okay? For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard, there's that word again, she heard about him, about Jesus, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Very important that it says here that she was a Greek and a Syrophoenician. Why? Because she has no covenant. She has no covenant with God. She has no right to ask God anything. That's why they put it in here. She has no right. Now, that's not just according to me or according to the Bible. It's according to God's law at the time. Very important. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." I don't want anybody getting locked up or keyed on Jesus calling her a dog. Okay? Because Jews, back in those days, called every Gentile or Samaritan a dog. She understood. She probably even had it on her forehead, you know. Dog, it didn't matter. Okay? That is not an offensive term to them because they understood. They had no covenant. Yeah, they were unclean. And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord." See, she knows. She says, "Yeah, I'm a dog. It doesn't matter. Yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Okay? Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. It's very important that that verse had to be there because it's proof that Jesus didn't lie. See, because Gentiles, very skeptical. Okay? Very skeptical. Says, "Oh, okay. It's gone." Okay? And if they went on to the next verse without actually bringing it to the head and knowing that the miracle took place, it had to be written. So it was written, okay, that the demon was gone out of her body and she was lying on the bed. Okay? We got that so far. The Syrophoenician, she understood that deliverance and healing is the children's bread. Everybody say children's bread. It is. It's the children's bread. Deliverance and healing is the children's bread. Jesus even said it. Okay? But bear in mind, she heard of him. What did she hear? We read some things earlier. Okay? That he taught, he preached, and healed. So she heard it from somewhere. She didn't hear it from a synagogue. She ain't going near a synagogue. So she heard it preached somewhere outside. She heard. She heard something. She heard something. Now, I can find it up there, but notice that there was a word in Matthew called table. She said that even the little dogs will get the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Okay? The word table in the Greek, actually the word is peze. Okay? So if you were to read this story in Mark in the Greek scriptures, it would say peze. And peze actually means, in the Greek, a place or a spread to put food. It's a table, right? We know that. Okay? But we're going to find out something a little bit different. Let's go to Psalms 23. Yeah, thank you. Everybody knows Psalms 23, right? It's preached a lot in funerals. That's what you preach at funeral, but it can be done. Let's go. The Lord is whose? My shepherd, right? I shall not want. He makes me lie down, makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Psalms 23 is a whole teaching in itself, but we're going to skim through it really quick here. It's very important. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Is that me? his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I would not go there. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a what? A table before me in the presence of my enemies. There's no enemies in heaven. Okay? But anyway, anyways. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We're going to key on the word table in Psalms 23. Have you ever heard this before? It's okay. You're on some, you're going to be on some good holy ground here. Praise God. Oh, yes, we are. We're at the table. And I'm feeling it. As I was putting this together, Lord, you said, you're keying on something because our Heavenly Father is a good Father. He feeds us. He's our provider. But you know what? We got to go to the table. A lot of times we just ask for something. The table's right there full, and we're asking over here, and we're doing our own thing. What is that all about? We're locating ourselves, okay? We're locating ourselves. Hallelujah. So bear in mind, Psalms 23 has the word table in it. Okay? Let's go to Luke 15. In Luke 15, pretty much the whole chapter is about the prodigal son. I'm not going to talk about the whole thing. We're just going to dive into a little bit about the prodigal son. Because the prodigal son, everybody knows, this is something I know you can bring up into your remembrance. The prodigal is a story or a symbolic figure or a shadow of a believer who backslides and then comes back. Is that not true?
Yes.
Okay. And then the father is a symbol or a type of the heavenly father. Is that not true? And then the other brother is a type of Christian. And we're going to see why. I know it's been brought up before, but I'm going to dive into it. And he arose and came to his father, talking about the prodigal really quick. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had what? Compassion. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. The word field is actually a missionary term, so that he is a part of the church. I want you to look at it this way. You have a Christian who backslides, then comes back. The father receives him. The other brother, he's already working in a ministry or he's in a church somewhere. I want you to look at it that way. Okay? And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was what? He was angry and would not go in. Dang it. We in the body of Christ need to press in. We need to go in no matter how we feel. Our feelings have nothing to do with it. Because Jesus continually said, woe unto those who are offended of him and things that are done. Woe to those people. We're going to find out what happened to this guy. He would not go in. Why do you think he wouldn't go in? Was he upset? Oh yeah, he was angry. But let's see why else. Therefore, his father came out and what? Pleaded with him. Oh my gosh. He's pleading with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years have I been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son, notice how he didn't say my brother. Okay? He didn't say my brother. He said this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots. Nobody said that. He's saying it. Whoa, the tongue, right? With harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, listen to this. Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. All I have is yours. Our Heavenly Father is saying that to us. All I have is yours. It's all yours. Oh my God. You mean you're holding that back from me for another time? I didn't say that. I said it's all yours. How are we going to get it? How are we locating ourselves? It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Key on that word, those words, all I have is yours. Seriously? Really, Josh? All God has is ours? All of it? All I have is yours. All I have is yours. All I have is yours. Psalms 23 has a table. There's food on that table. All I have is yours. How desperate are you? How desperate? Let's go to Matthew 15:29 really quick. Check out these desperate people. Jesus departed from there. He did some teaching. Departed from there, skirted the Sea of Galilee, and went up on the mountain. Everybody say mountain. Went up on a mountain. I look at mountain. I see Mount Baldy and stuff. I see mountains, okay? A mountain. He went up on a mountain and sat down there on a mountain. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. In the New King James, it says, laid them down at his feet. In the original King James and in the Aramaic and the Hebrew, the word is cast, C-A-S-T. So how would you like to carry a lame person up a mountain? We're not talking just like the hills right here. You're carrying a lame person up a mountain, and as soon as you get to Jesus' feet, you cast him and say, all yours. That's what they did. That's how desperate they were for these people to receive their healings. They went up a mountain, especially with blind people. Look out for that rock. Desperate. 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 Oh, man. Praise God. All I have is yours. Now we're going to jump down, go back a few verses. Matthew 15:21-28. Here is part two of the Syrophoenician woman. And this is the part I really want to get to, because the Lord wants to locate us on where we're at and how desperate you are. I don't need to know. It has nothing to do with me. How desperate you are to receive all that God has for you. Say, well, once I'm saved, I got it all. Is that a tradition? Is that a thought that we have? Because once we get saved, yes, we get all of Jesus. But you know what? I'm only going to receive what I accept. If I don't accept healing, I'm not getting healed. Jesus isn't going to walk around saying, oh, I think I'll heal you just to show that I'm God. Doesn't happen in the scripture, so why would it happen now? It doesn't happen. See, in God's eyes, this whole world is saved. His faith is speaking. He said, I died for everybody ever born. But they have to accept me. If not, I still weep for them. Once we are in Christ, all that he has is ours. All he has is ours. All right, here we go. Matthew 15:21-20. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Kind of like in Mark's, right? And behold, a woman of Canaan. Notice how the terms are a little bit different, because again, this was written for on the Jewish behalf. From Canaan, came out of that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. Why did Jesus not answer her? Because legally he couldn't. He was a rabbi on a mission. She is a Gentile. They are not allowed, rabbi, especially rabbi men, okay, to talk to women who are not a part of the covenant. It's not allowed. Okay? It's just simple. It's like the woman with the issue of blood. She, when she came outside, she was supposed to yell, "Unclean." She didn't. Okay? She broke the law, but it didn't matter. Okay? We just need to know that that's why he didn't talk to her. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Hey, come on," saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." Is that desperate? Or is she just being persistent? She being rude? She being, what is she? I mean, I believe she's really being desperate. Jesus, she kind of understood the law, but now she's going after the disciples, and they got a feud going on here. Okay? But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I believe that Jesus just yelled it out to let everybody know, especially her. "I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You don't have a covenant. You can't have anything that's entitled to the Jews. You cannot." That's basically what he said there. Then she came and what did she do? She worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Now, how is saying, "Lord, help me," worship? Is she trying to bribe him? What's going on? I don't think that's worship, but anyway. But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread," she wants deliverance, right? "Children's bread, and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Stories are almost similar, right? Matthew and Mark. The difference is the word table. She understood she was a dog. She understood she had no covenant. She had no right to ask him for anything except when her faith turned on about the word table. The word table that was used in Mark, I've already went over that with you, which is peze. But the word table stems from the word, I'll say it properly, it's shulkan, shulkan. But she used the word. Shulak. That's in Hebrew for table. But shulak in Hebrew, if you were to say that describing a table, because that's why it's so important, it talked about little dogs underneath the table. Have you ever seen a little dog so hungry and they're underneath the table? You have little dogs, you have a little dog, and they're so hungry that if a crumb falls, that they're on that and they're ready to climb up the legs of the table to get more food. That's what that word meant. That's what it means. When she said, "Even the little dogs will shulak for a crumb," she's saying, "I'm ready to attack anything that's going to fall from that table. Nobody's going to keep me from it. Nobody. Not the devil himself." Mark used the word peze. Matthew says shulak. And Jesus said, oh my gosh, woman, your faith is so strong. There's not even a wolf that'll keep you away from that crumb. Nothing will keep you away from that crumb. That's how committed she was, not casually inclined. She was committed to that crumb. She reached for that crumb with inside her spirit when she said that. That's what Jesus heard. Nothing will keep me from it. Nothing. No demon in hell. Even if you told me no, Jesus, it's still mine. It's still mine. You say, oh, she loved her daughter that much. Yes, she did. But you know what? Her heart was actually saying, I'm totally committed to this. I know I'm not deserving, but you know what? It's mine. I have it now. It's mine. I have it now. What do you want from God tonight? Is it possible that we could get that type of commitment to God, or is it she just some supernatural, special person? Think she was special, or you think she was just like us? Just like us. Just like us. What made her make that decision of saying, you know what? I know I'm really not supposed to talk to you, but I'm gonna. My daughter's that important. It's that important for my heart. I need to know that I know that I know that I know. And if I don't know that I know that I know, you might as well end it all right here. That's what she's saying. I'm that committed. I am that committed. This is not anything casual. Just like the people who walked up the mountain with blind people and lame and muted people and casting them at Jesus' feet, saying, deal with them. I can't do it. We can't deal with our sicknesses, diseases, illnesses, sins. We can't do it. What do? We cast them at Jesus' feet. We have to. But we have to be that committed in knowing that we know, that we know, that we know that God will answer our prayers. Not even just our prayers, our faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. The question of the night is again, what do you want from God? What do you want him to do for you? You don't have to tell me, pastor, anybody. What do you want him to do? What do you want? What do you want? In no ways will he cast us out when we ask anything of him. We keep it in line with God's word, and his word will work for us. His word is life, and it's health. It's medicine. It's medicine. Oh, dear God, it's medicine. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord has given me a picture and a vision of this congregation when it's healthy. And it's not just physical, but spiritual healthy too, because we're getting there. We are. Did you know there's actually three categories of churches in the world, but mainly in North America? You got your mega churches, and then you have your startup churches. The middle church, the average size of a middle church in North America is only 75 people now. 75. I'm going, what? When I saw those statistics, I was shocked. There are some startup churches that may have 2,000, but it's still a startup. Okay, but churches that have been around for quite a few years, 75 is the average. But could you imagine what 75 Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled, on fire, faith-filled people can do? 75. 75. You know? And our church being healthy and whole. Okay, in the building that God has for us, because it comes from within. The Spirit of God is within us. It's not out here, it's within us. We call it in. We call in our healings. We call in our deliverance. We call in the building. We call in whatever provision we need from God. We call it in. This is how God wants us to work. He's a faith God. He wants us to do it that way. Not like the chicken who says, I'm just going to drop off a couple eggs and I'm out of here. Okay? And you hate to say it like the pig, but you go in there and you say, you know what? I'm all in. I'm all in. And once we do that, God says, now I have something to work with. I have something to work with. Because you're all in, I'm all in with you. I'm all in with you. Notice when Jesus was walking on the water and the disciples were there and Jesus told Peter to come. He operated on that one word, come. Peter walked out on the water and Jesus didn't climb in the boat and said, you're on your own. He did not do that. He will never do that with anything we do. Anything we do. Have you located yourself on where you are in God, what you want from him, what you need from him, because he is our provision. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Hallelujah. Before I turn it over to Pastor. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the privilege to be able to share and to share what you've told me to share. And the question that every one of us need to answer before you here when we go home on a daily basis is, what do we want from you? Because you tell us, ask you. And Father, I pray that every one of us will have the courage to ask you tonight and every day of their lives for things that you are calling us to find out what we need to do, to find and search the scriptures, to dig and find those golden nuggets, because your word is medicine. It's health to all our flesh. What do we want from you, Father? What do we want? Something only that we can answer on an individual basis. And I'm asking you, Father, that you'd move mightily in our midst as we leave this building tonight. But I'm asking in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, that all infirmities that has plagued this congregation will go in Jesus' name. It has to go. It cannot stay at the name of Jesus, because every knee must bow and every knee confess that Jesus is Lord, because at the name of Jesus, all power is there. I speak life to this congregation. I speak Zoe. I speak it and say in the name of Jesus, I declare that we are the blessed. We are healed. We are delivered. We are well. And we are prosperous in you, Heavenly Father, because you paid the ultimate price for us and now we just accept it. And I pray again, Father, we have the courage to accept it and dive into your word and see that your word is true. And I thank you, Father, in the name that is above every name. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. We invite you completely, Father, to do a cleansing, because we receive the bread from the table. Are we that committed to it? All you have is ours. And I pray, Father, that we have the boldness to latch onto it and take whatever we need from that table. There's healing on the table. There's deliverance on the table. There's anointing on the table. It's there that you're going to give us, because you said it's there. All you have is ours. I love you, Lord, and I thank you, Father, for this time. And I pray in Jesus' name that your spirit would move in our midst. I know the Lord's speaking to somebody right now, maybe two or three people. Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just receive what he has for you. Receive some of the words. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's telling you some things that you need to do, that we all need to do. Hallelujah. Don't put it on the back burner. It's a breakthrough. It's a breakthrough. Press in. Press in to Jesus. Don't push away. Press in. Press in. Hallelujah. Press in. Press in. Press in. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I see a job coming for somebody. I don't know who it is. I just know that there's a breakthrough for a job. Hallelujah. And the Lord says to you when you receive your job, I am telling you that this job is not your provision. I am your provision. when the job comes, praise me for it, thank me for it, but remember, I am your provision, not the job. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That's good news. That's good news. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor.